Amen. Amen. Welcome today, family. I'm happy everybody was able to come out of the liquid sunshine and bless us for this time to be together. Also, all those of you who are watching online, I hope you're having a great day, and I hope this message touches your heart. You know that song that he's just saying, God has his hands on us, that's pretty apropos for what I'm going to speak on through the Lord. We all have burdens. We all have things that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes we have to be encouraged. Sometimes we have to kind of get with others, get with God to just try to work these things out and recognize that God is going to bring us through. It's Satan that's caused this. This fallen world is the issue. But God will bring us through. Our scripture today will be coming from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We have a blessing on the way. We'll hear another word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for another day, Lord. We thank you for just guiding us to our purpose, guiding us to what we know is coming back home to you, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray that the struggles of this life do not make us feel any different about you, but we just know that you're going to be there always with us. You've always got your hand on us. Everything we go through is for a reason and a purpose. So let your servants say things to encourage everyone today. Let your servants say things that are a blessing to you. So we ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we all love it when life is going well, things are going good, a great dinner with our families, wake up in the morning and everything is just great. We have those days, you know, the birds are shining. You know, there's this commercial I saw where these people have these businesses and everything looks like a great cartoon, and all of a sudden an accident happens and it switches to a gray and black screen and you see the sorrow that comes, the things, the way it shakes us up. And that's the way we are about when burdens come in our lives. We're like, where did that come from? What happened? You know, why me? And the question we should say, Lord, is why not me? We should say, Lord, what is this about? What are you trying to show me? You know, Jesus said in his words that problems will always be with us. In John 16:33, God says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome them." You know, problems and troubles will always be with us. That's the first thing we have to remember. And before we can even get into the fact of trying to solve all our problems, we have to know how to solve them through Christ. We have to know who the problem solver is. We have to know how to recognize these things when they happen. Because just like the sun rises and sets, a problem's going to come. That old saying about you either going into a storm, coming out of a storm. So we have to always be prepared to let God guide our lives. You know, God has a plan for us to survive the weariness and burdens. Like I said, see, they're still going to come. They're always going to be there. But he is the one that's going to soothe you through. He is the one that's going to take the rain away sometimes. Sometimes he lets it rain in our life. All of these things you'll hear me say a lot is that they're for teaching moments. Yes, things may hurt us deeply. But if we say, "Lord, we love you," instead of saying, "Lord, why is this happening to me?" and we get bitter with him, although he can handle it, we will come out of it more better. Our spirits, our souls will be refreshed in the midst of a storm, you know. So first of all, we have to know that everything is going to be all right because Jesus said, "Take heart, I've overcome the world." And what that means is that these problems are temporary, but once we leave here, all of that stuff is left behind. Burdens are left behind. Fear, hunger, death, crying, all those things are left behind. And that's the thing of Christians that sometimes we so easily will forget is that this life is temporary. These few years compared to eternity will not matter. But we get so caught up in it, we want to hold the world. That's why God says that, you know, anyone who wins the world and loses his soul has lost. You have focused too much on the wrong things in life. Yes, we want to be successful. We want to have all these things, but don't make them your priority. It's just like there's certain things I love to eat, and we were talking about it earlier, but we have to do those things in moderation. Life has to be lived in moderation. We have to say to ourselves, am I putting too much time into these things of the world and not enough time into God? Because, you know, there's certain things that I'm ashamed to say. There's days where sometimes I don't give God all the thoughts that I should. I'll rush through a day and then realize, and then say, Lord, I did not praise you. I did not consult you on some of the most minor things, some of the biggest hiccups in my life. I just tried to move through it. And that's when the problems occur, when we try to move out our own. It's kind of like the sheep who move away from God and they get out into the wilderness and the things that happen and they have to come back. God has to come get you and remind you of who he is to your life. So, and before we get into how we survive, there are things that we need to know about storms and burdens when they come. We need to know how to prepare for them. You know, it's just like if a storm is going to come. We know that if it's going to be a bad storm, we get sandbags, we put up things around our property to protect us. If it's a hurricane, you see people out there, they're hammering up boards over windows and things like that. Those are the things that God has told us that we have to know how to do. Because he says in his words that, you know, to build a house, to build anything like that, to be prepared, we have to have a strong foundation. And our foundation has to be in Christ. You know, Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, therefore, everyone who hears these things, these words of mine, puts them into practice like a wise man. We build our house on the rock. The rain came down. The storm rose. The wind blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When we don't have that foundation in Christ, we don't know who he is, we don't know how to prepare. We don't know what to look for in a foundation. Because when a foundation, there's something they say in real estate, location, location, location. It's about where did you put your foundation at? You go to buy a house, you do all those things. You get somebody to come and look at the house, they expect it. You look at things like, okay, does there flood around here? Are there other difficulties in life? And that's the way we have to do with Christ. We have to look and say, okay, am I building my foundation on something that's solid? Or am I building my foundation on trusting in my money, my friends, all those things that bring us earthly comfort? Many times we'll try to build a foundation on those things. But our foundation, the prime location, is in God. He is that foundation. And our foundation also is on Jesus Christ. He is that rock. He is that solid foundation. Because when you have all of those things together, your house is set. You know, there may be things that come. There may be a shingle or two that will blow off. There may be a few struggles, but you are going to be held firm. Because you realize that, okay, these things are going to come. God's got me in here nice and cozy. There's problems all around me, but you know what a great thing is? When you have peace, when it should not make sense, you know, right. When everybody's right. Like, why right. Are you so calm? Why is things going this way? Look what's happening around you. I'm watching you struggle. And those struggles can be a death of a loved one, a loss of a job, any of the things that come to us in life. But God is always there. He's always there. And right. He also says, I want you to carry yourself like I'm always there. Sure, we have pains and sorrow, but we don't have to go out and make that our full testimony. You know, because I've seen some people, I've got all these things going on. This is horrible, this is happening to me. But they never say, God's got me. Their problems become their testimony instead of saying, God is in control of this. Because people can see when the struggles are going on. People know it as you talk to them, but you don't have to make that the whole of who you are. Because you want people to see God more so than your problems, your issues, you know. And also when we talk about how to build that prime location, we go back to the basics. Just like if you build any structure, there are basics ways of how it has to be done. Concrete for the foundation as before so much. There's joists. There's all these different things in a building that have to be done properly. And ours starts with prayer. We have to be able to pray to the Lord that, Lord, I love you so much. I know there are things that are going to happen in my life, but I need you to help bring me through them. I know there are difficulty days that are ahead as I stand here in this sunshine and stuff, but I need to be prepared. And that's how we start that preparation. Then we have to, once again, spend time with his word. We have to know what God's word is saying about how to survive. We have to know what he wants us to do. We have to find our purpose. Because when we find our purpose, God will show it to you if you ask him for it. If we just search for it on our own, we won't find it. We'll find a purpose, but it's not Christ's purpose for us. We're going to find a purpose of what the world wants us to be. And that's where weariness, that's where burden comes, because we try to get too close to this world. this world that God says, I don't want you to be close to the world. I want you to be like my ambassador. If you go to another country, you still know the language you speak. You still know where you are from, but you're just conducting business on my behalf. And that's what we're supposed to be doing here, conducting business on his behalf, saving souls, telling people who he is. That's the purpose God put us here. Sometimes we get distracted. We get off on it, on our reasons for doing that. And as we get into it now with our main scripture, where the first thing God says to us was, come to me. And this is a key thing when we share the gospel with people, is that he didn't force you to come to him. He didn't try to swindle you. He didn't try to tell you, if you leave here, I won't love you anymore. He says, come to me. Plain and simple. Right. You know, just like you tell your little child, come to me. You like you're having a problem there. Come to me. And they'll come to mommy and daddy for that nurturing, for that love that God has for us. And then he also tells us how we should listen to him when we come to him. And that's what listening to word and our worship is about. Is that God speaks to us. He tells us things. He lets us know things are going to happen before they happen. Because, I mean, I've had many times with God, he doesn't speak to me audibly, but he impresses on my heart something. And sometimes, you know, you hear it and you just keep moving. Then later on when the event occurs, you're like, God told me it was going to happen. And he'll usually tell you how to get out of it. But the point of that is that we have to know how to listen, how to learn from him, how to walk through him, how to get that preparation for that storm. Because all these things, like say, are that preparation. They're the insurance that we need. And that's why God said, I am your insurance of life. I assure you I will take care of you. I assure you I will not let anything take you over. Yes, there are things that are devastating, but that's only from our perspective. That's only how we look at these things. But God's looking at us, I'm showing you something. I'm building something. Because the word thing, like I said, when you come out of a burden or a stressor, you can tell others about it. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's happened has happened before. You know, if we look at the world now, all the hate, all the bitterness, it's all happened before.
Right.
And man, like in Psalms 2 when he was reading, man tries to solve these things himself. He thinks he can move around God. Mm-hmm. And that's just crazy to me, how you see these politicians or other people talking, these nations that rage against each other. They think, once we conquer this, we're the ones that are going to be on top. And we do that in our life. Once I conquer this on my own or I do this little deed, I'm going to be all right. No, God has a plan. And you're not going to disrupt his plan.
Right.
You know, you may curve it. He may find some other way to get it done. But he's going to move along whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Right.
And also, in another thing that he says there, when he talks about how do you handle being weary, in Jeremiah 31, I'm sorry. Let me go back one. Also, when I was saying about the listening portion, in John 10, 2 through 5, the word of God says, the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out of his own, he goes in ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from a stranger because they do not recognize his voice. You know, we always know God's voice when we hear it. We have to know his voice. That's where all that listening comes from. You know, it was funny when I was sitting there and I could hear Helen singing. I heard her over there and I was saying, no, Helen usually sits over there. But I knew that voice. I knew it was like, okay, it's not where it was before, but I hear it over there because then I heard her come up here. That's the way God is. Well, you know his voice. You know his voice over Satan's voice. You know, but sometimes, you know, that temptation, that desire may make us deviate and do that thing. And God will say, yes, you did that. There's a price that's going to be paid for it, but I still love you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to take your life away from you. I'm going to bring you back into my love and kindness. So we have to always remember how to hear his voice. You know, how to, another part of that preparation for those storms that they come. You know, notice it also when he said his teachings, come to me by my miracles. He said, don't come to me by my miracles. Don't come to me by teachings. Come to me. Those are all the things I did to draw you to me. My word is to draw you to you. It was like even back in, Jesus would do his miracles. People would be so fascinated with the healing instead of the healer. You know, we get so fascinated when God does stuff that sometimes, you know, we don't say praise God. He'll bless us with certain things, and we don't always acknowledge it. Because I found myself, God's doing things for me, and I'll say, well, I did all these things here. And then you come to the realization as you grow is when something happens, some miraculous thing, you don't say, well, the first thing you can say is Jesus. Because God will take you to the end of something. He will take you up to a wall where there is no way. And then he'll blow a hole in the wall. And you'll step back and you'll be like, how did I get through this? And you cannot say it was you. All you can say is Jesus. Right. Right. All you can say is, Father, thank you for the love that you've shown me right now. And that's when we do some of our best hallelujahs. We do some of our best hallelujahs, some of our best prayers when we are down. Because I pray like I've never prayed when I have a prayer. When I have a serious problem, or there's something I really need to have done, I'd be like, Lord, I'd be thinking about it all the time. And it's so quick how once God solves that problem for us, we just keep moving on. We keep moving on, and we keep doing that. You know, that's why he calls us sheep. That's a backhanded compliment. Because sheep are some of the dumbest animals in the world. They don't always want to follow instructions. They want to do their own thing. And God just said, no, no. I understand what I made. I understand. And you look at the world. There's a lot of sheep. It's just a matter of who their leaders are. You know, because, you know, I was reading this book called Psalms 29 from the perspective of a shepherd. And he was just talking about how sheep would do some of the most craziest things. You know, they would try to run off the side of a hill and the others would follow. You know, things like that. He said there was once a sheep he had that he had to break the sheep's leg and hobbled him because he was trying to lead all the other sheep astray. Wow. And sometimes what God will do is a burden where we try to do too much. We try to run certain things that are not the way he wants. Especially sometimes in church, we'll do that when we have our organizations or stuff. We'll try to run a committee like we did when we were working someplace. We'll try to do things like we did at our jobs or other places. But like I tell people when I see that happen, is you're not leaving room for the Holy Spirit to work. You're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to go by your own experience. You're trying to lean on your own understanding.
Right.
And
right.
God is like, that's not going to work for me.
Right.
I'll bring you to the end of yourself. And that's what that saying going, how does that work out for you?
Right.
Somebody will say that to you. And you'll know, well, it didn't work out too well. Let me go back to where I am supposed to be.
Right.
Then also, you know, he says to us how we're supposed to abide in him. This is important that we abide in Christ. Because if we're not living in him, not living in ourselves, if we're not living in him, we're not living in Jesus, then we can't see. You have those eyes that see but don't truly see. You have the ears that hear but don't listen. Because when you're in Christ and you're watching him, you watch the world move in strange ways. Like I was saying before, you know, us as black folks, God saved us. I watch some of these documentaries, and it's like, how in the world did we come from a people being slaves, mistreated through all those years to where we are now? Things ain't perfect, but they're getting better. And sometimes we want to say, our leader's this and that. No, God saved us. Because there was a force of evil which exists that had intent on destroying us. And that wasn't God's plan. And so many people, that's what I'm saying, they don't understand that. So many of us don't understand that. We look at our leaders as they did this. No, they were used by God. Dr. King, used by God. You know, whether we think about Malcolm X or not, God used him. He used many different people to bring us where we are. All kinds of folks. But they were evil, but God always confronted that evil. And he will continue to do that. We look at our world right now, and all I say is God's under control. Because like I said, when you have a problem, one of the things you're supposed to do is reflect back on the problem. You're supposed to look at it while you're in it and afterwards and say to yourselves, okay, how did I get here? What was God trying to show me? Because when you get to the end of something and you look back, oh, that's why he did this. That's why he made that happen. That's why he brought this to my attention. That's why he caused all of these things to happen to me. So also when he says to you, says the word, all you who are weary and burdened. Weariness and burdens are facts of life. Like I said, we should not be surprised when they come. They will always come. Your kids are going to cause you some problems. Your job, your husband, your wife, all sorts of outside circumstances are going to cause you a great deal of pain. But like I said, God will be there to strengthen you through it. You know, because Burdens, like I say, they usually are loss, an illness, a worry. We worry about the political situation. We worry about our finances. Will we be able to retire? Am I going to be able to pay the note? You know, and God keeps us sometimes in that because so many of us, if he gave us all the money we needed, we'd forget him. There was a scripture that said, Lord, I pray that I'm not so rich that I forget you, and I pray that I'm not so poor that I steal and cause shame on your name.
Right.
We always want to stay right in his perfect will. It's hard not to go to the left or right and keep straight, but that should always be the focus of our mind. Because as long as we're focusing on going the direction that God takes us in, we're going to be okay. We're going to make it through. Because there's nothing like being secure in Christ. There's nothing like being able to come to a Sunday morning and know that you're going to fellowship. There's nothing like spending some time reading God's word and just listening to it. Because sometimes, you know, I've read something a few times, and I come back to it, and it's like, I didn't see that before. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. That's going to help me a little bit better as I move through the world. And another thing is, when you have a burden, be kind to people. Because hurting pain can make you hurt people. You ever had an injury and it's like people are trying to do stuff and you're irritated? They know why you're irritated. That's the way burdens, hurdens of pain will do to you. It will make you feel very frustrated. It will make you say things to people that you'll regret. So that's why we really have to stay focused on our God, because he will bring us through these things. That's how we show the world, once again, I'm going through this problem, but God has overcome it by my attitude, by the way I behave. Because once again, that is the key that God loves. He loves to see us go through things and love him. Because he says, I got you. I'm going to bring you through it. No matter what happens, I've got you. I'm going to bring you through it. Next of all, he said, too, that, you know, I will give you rest. And that means a rest that's from a physical labor. You know, the rest of peace. Because, you know, anytime when you have weariness, that's something that, between weariness and burdens is weariness is that it's something that you're pulling along. A burden is something that you carry. Weariness is like, I've had to work all these hours at this job. They got me working overtime. I'm going through this. I'm trying to deal with this financial problem. I'm trying to deal with the sickness that I have, or helping somebody else get through a sickness, or some long-term thing where it just drags on you. Because it's like it just stays on you. You're constantly going through it. And that's those times where we have to stop and say, Lord, I'm weary. I'm tired. And God will say, okay, I'm going to bring you through it. Sure, you're going to get through it here in a minute, but I'm going to give you some comfort where you can snap back and say, I'm carrying this. I'm pulling this thing along. And I'm sad, but God's got me, and he can just bring you through it. And that's where that peace that passes understanding comes from, where you know, you're like, you can make it through. Burdens, those are those things that we carry. The things that, like say, a death of someone, a loss that just hangs around and just is always there. You always got it on your shoulders. And, you know, it's like when your shoulders hurt, you get those stressors from life where it's like, okay, what am I doing wrong here? And God is just allowing those things for you because he's taking you through something. And a lot of times, I say 90-some percent of the stressors we have in our life, we bring on ourselves. You know, we can always go back to where it began. Like the Bible says, you sow the wind and you reap a whirlwind. I've had things happen where I can say, I know just when I planted that seed. And it's come to fruition. I got to deal with it now. But the good news is God's going to help you go through that.
Right.
God's going to bring you through that. Because, you know, so many times, have you ever known people that have problems and they'll tell you about a burden or something? And you say, when did that happen? Yesterday? No, this was 5 years ago. Have not been able to put it down. They just carry on to it. They let it drain them. You know, because I know I've seen people that passed away suddenly. Things like that happen. Or people that have had any issues like that. And we're always like, Lord, how could you allow this to happen? How could you take this person, this thing, whatever it is, from me like that? You knew the hurt that I'm going through every day. But God says, that was a blessing in disguise. Because no matter how bad it hurt for that situation, if I had to let it go on, it would definitely have devastated you. And my biggest thing is, I might have lost you. You know, that person, that thing, whatever, God's going to restore in time. That person, you will see them again. That's why we try to make sure our children, those around us that we love, know Christ. Because we will see them again.
Right.
We will see them again without the burdens that they had. We will see them again in a whole different light when we get to heaven. Because like I say, pain, suffering, sorrow, none of that exists there. None of that God has any word for, any use for doing it. Then he says also in John 15:5, he says too that I am the vine. You are my branches. You will remain in me and I in you. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Basically saying that anything that happens to us that we love in life, it comes from him. And that's the thing that, like I said, we have to keep reminding ourselves is that God is everything. He is not somebody that's just random. He is everything. He is here in this room. He's with us at all times. And that is the key that we have to know that will help us move through life. And that's why he also he says about taking his yoke upon you. His yoke is light. He takes our problems, and like when a yoke is an agrarian thing, where when they put that yoke on the ox and they put it on another one, they both can pull twice as much weight. But the good news here is that God is pulling most of the weight. Because when we walk along with his yoke on our back, then what he's saying to us is, I got you. I'm going to help you through this. No matter how long, if you just trust me, I'm going to help you through this. Sometimes we think problems last for years and things, but we also have to look at what am I not doing to change the situation? Lord, am I listening to you? Because the rain is going to come. Sometimes he ends a storm immediately. Sometimes he'll let it rain. But the thing is, it's like, what is he trying to show you? Because all burdens, all difficulties, they must be dealt with. And he is the one who's going to deal with. He's the one that's going to bring you through mostly all of the problems that you have in life. And he says, learn from him. As he walks, like I was saying earlier, when Jesus walked, he had burdens. He had struggles. Dealing with the Pharisees, dealing with people who did not like him. Dealing with people who say they love the Lord, but have no respect for him. And that's the way life is for us. We will deal with people who have no respect for us. Have no love for us. But one thing Christ did as he walked through, he was still kind. He was still merciful. He saved the souls of people who did not like him. But they saw him as the last alternative. That's amazing how that brokenness comes. People who didn't have any use for Christ, sometimes they can get brought to that point. Like the many Roman leaders who come to him, my daughter's dying. Can you help? They weren't really into Jesus, so to speak. It was just a matter of they were there. They saw, oh, he did that miracle. He did that. Maybe there's something to it. I have a need right now. Let me go to Jesus. And that going to Jesus is that they saw his mercy. Same way with us. As we go through things, God sees your mercy. He sees the kindness, things that did not come from you. Because deep inside of all of us, there is not a whole lot of mercy, kindness, and forgiveness until we stay in Christ. Because that's why he says there, I am the branch, you are the vines. All the nutrients you need for all these things come from me. You cut yourself off from me, and they are no more. You know, so he was just trying to tell us that. And for also he says that he is gentle and humble at heart. How many of us are humble and gentle at heart? Sometimes. We do a great deed or something, and people, oh, they're nice. But sometimes we revert. Just ask my wife. we can say certain things, do certain things out, but family knows who we really are. So that's why we have to stay on our prayers. We have to stay close to Christ because he is the only one that will sustain us in ourselves. That's why he says that he will give rest to your souls. You know, and also when you come to problems, some Jeremiah 6:16 says, he says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and your souls will find rest. You will find rest for your soul. And basically what he's saying is there's, look at what happened before when you did right by Christ. Look what happened before when he brought you from something. Let's walk that path again. Let's walk in Christ again. Because we know when we walk another path, it's not going to turn out right. But they're saying, look, see what happened, and let God just lead you one more time, bring you through that. Because it's like when the Israelites walked around the wall of Jericho. God had them walk around it every day, seven times, just looking at it, looking at how impossible this is. Look at how this wall built. Oh, look how they put that foundation there. Okay, look how they got that gate covered where the river comes in. Look at all these things. And God said he's going to deliver this city to me. After I've walked around and I see how this thing goes, that's where that humbleness comes from, where he explodes it once again. He gave it to them. They were able to conquer it. And that's how our problems are. Sometimes he tells us to walk around them, and he'll show us a way out. At some point, we walk around him, and he's like, okay, let me show you this little entrance right here. This will get you through. This will help you make it to the next level of life that I want you to be at. And that's what we have to always do, is to keep our souls at rest, to always be able to find that peace. And also, the last thing is that this world is not our home. This world is just some place where we exist. You know, it's like I said, we are ambassadors. We're here to do what God says, but he doesn't want us close to this world at all, because the closer you get to this world, that's when you want to leave away from Christ. He's telling us, stay close by me, but don't get so in love with this world. Because all the things you get in love with, like I've been in love with my cars, my different things, but you know, they get old.
Right.
Then you're looking for something new. You know, things wear out, that favorite suit, that favorite this or that. There are certain friends that wear out. I heard where you have certain friends for a while, and they're only there to get you to another level or to help you get through something. But even they will leave you at some point. But Christ will never leave you. And like he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, because you're coming home. That's why he talks about a cattle on a thousand hills, mansions for us. These are just the way they are described, but that's truly what it is. He's going to protect us, give us everything, more than we could ask for, more than we can think about. Because he does that here sometimes on earth, where he will bless us in ways that we never imagined. We'll go in looking for the 2-cent item, and he gives us the $100 item. And all we can say is, I don't know how he worked that out, but he did. But then we ought to go on praising him for that. We ought to go on. You know, he also talks about how, you know, when the Bible talks about how he rose, and we get all excited, but he rose so that we could do his will. He rose for us to be overcomers of burdens and weariness. He rose so that we can make it through these things. So with all of that being said, we have to continue to love God. We have to know him through the struggles. We have to continue to say, my soul is at peace with this. No matter how hard it rains, no matter how hard the wind blows, we have to know that as long as we're on a firm foundation, God is going to take us through.
Right.
He's going to take us through. He's going to take our kids through. All of those that we share, all of those that we pray for all the time. Because one thing in our burdens, we don't always spend the time in prayer that we should. We don't always do the things that are necessary. But he's just saying, I love you. Stay the faith. Stay strong in me, and I will be there with you. So I just say, God bless us, love us, and be with us. And thank you for listening to me. In Jesus' name.